morning, Zoe. How are we doing this morning? How's the weather? So it's all right out there? Well, thank y'all for being here. We dismissed the 9 a.m., and then that storm was coming right in, so you guys probably were coming to church in it. But you're here. You are the faithful. You guys get extra jewels in your crowns in heaven, I think. I think that's part of it. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. We talk about how great this is for us, but it isn't great for some, and this new storm's coming through, and will only make it worse for those who are suffering. So I just want to take a minute real quick. We talked about this last week, but just talk about our involvement as a church to be the hands and feet of Jesus through this crisis of the floods in Central Texas and in Kerrville, but also even here locally. And we as a church wanted to formalize a response. How can we be involved as a church and be the church outside the four walls of the building of the church? So you can scan this QR code, whether you're here or watching even online. You can scan this QR code. You can see this will take you to a web page on our website. And we have a whole web page built out for our formal response. So here's four ways you can get involved as a church. You can pray first and foremost. I'm sure you're doing that. Second, you can give. If you give through the legacy fund of Zayo, all those funds will be donated to the victims and the efforts that are taking place through local ministries. We're partnering with a ministry called ARC, and they have boots on the ground, and they have resources being deployed now. But here's the great thing. Through our ministry partners of Altrua, HealthShare and Altrua Ministries, with Randy Sluter here and Heather being the director of Altrua Ministries, they have come and stepped up, and they said they will match up to $25,000 that's donated through Zayo Church and these efforts through the Legacy Fund. Isn't that awesome? Can we just celebrate what God's doing? Thank you, Randy. The most generous man right here. And just so through Altrua, they are a ministry partner of ours. We're very excited about our partnership with Altrua, but this is one thing they wanted to do. They'll match up to $25,000. And so if you give through the Legacy Fund for this cause, that just know that your funds are automatically doubled. So it's a pretty cool thing. And then those funds will be deployed out to through this ministry partner called ARC into those in need. You can also go. It's kind of cool to see some teams were already mobilized. We had some people reach out through the week and say, hey, we want to go. And we've already sent some people from Zayo Church out into Kerrville and into the efforts that's taking place there. And so if you want to go, we will get you mobilized. And they need a lot of help. And from what we're hearing, they need a ton of volunteers. So you can go. You can that's on there as well. And then you can also, you can bring supplies. There's a whole list of supplies that are needed for this. And you can bring your supplies here. You can give them in the donation box. If you come during the week and the gate's closed, just leave it at the gate. There's a box there, and we'll make sure they get to where they need to go. There's a whole list of supplies. I loved it. I walked up this morning, and a chainsaw was on the front porch. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about right now. So someone already got the note and donating chainsaws. That's awesome. So, we just ask you to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Partner with us. As we partner with ARC and Altrua to be the hands and feet of Jesus during this crisis, all right? Especially even today, it may get even worse. So we need to be the church. You know, the church really is to be the one that the community goes to in a moment of need, not the government, the church. So, but we got to step up and we got to be ready to help. And I'm just, our prayers are with you. There's so many that are affected through this. We have several people in the church who have houses in Kerrville, people who were closely affected by this, had loved ones or friends that have passed away through the floods. And so our prayers are with you, and our church is with you as well. So, okay, well, thank you so much for listening to that and being a part of that. Okay, today I want to continue a four-week series that we're in. This is week two of a series that I'm calling Disciple. disciple. This is deep in my heart. This is a series that it may not be the most flashy series, but honestly, it may be one of the most impactful series, and one that's so true to who I am and what I want to relate to you as the pastor of this church. Because over the course of this series, I want to lead you through a process of what does it look like to be a true disciple of Jesus, not a Christian. Not a Christian, a disciple of Jesus. Here's what a disciple means. A person who follows Jesus, is being transformed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. Here's the language I'm going to give in this series. A disciple is someone who is with Jesus, who is becoming like Jesus, and who is committed to doing what Jesus did. Three ways. Like with Jesus, like Jesus, and for Jesus. That's what a disciple is. It's with Jesus, like Jesus, and for Jesus. That's the next 3 weeks of this series right there. So the question that I ask myself as the pastor of this church, I talked about this last week, but a question that I wrestle with is am I doing a good job? Am I leading the church well? How do I know what success is for me? And here it is. Are the people of Zayo looking more and more like Jesus every day? If the church is looking more and more like Jesus, then we are doing a good job. If the church is not looking more and more like Jesus, then we're missing the mark. So what does it mean to be a disciple? It means that you don't do the same stuff that you used to do before you met Jesus. It means that you're growing in your faith. You're maturing in your faith. You're progressing in the faith. You don't say the same things that you used to say. You don't respond the same way you used to respond. You don't behave the same way you used to behave. You have committed to this faith. You're following in the way of Jesus, and you are different. So when you come to Zayo and you sit through a service like this, that you leave this place a little bit different. Like the words of Jesus actually impacted you. You felt the presence of God, and you are looking more and more like Jesus than you were when you got here. And then you're dispersed out into the world. I mean, this is what the church is to be. It's we come in and we teach and equip, and then we release you as a mobilized church. There's a saying within the church that the local church is the hope of the world, but a pastor friend of mine said the local church mobilized is the hope of the world. Because we can just be the local church and just us four no more, and we have a great time within these walls, and then it just ends there. But us as the church, we are to be mobilized and then sent out into the world. And then what happens is that this community becomes transformed because of you. Because there's a true commitment to following after Jesus. I want the people of this community to look at this church and say, man, there's something different about those Christians over at Zayo Church. Like they actually do what Jesus says to do. I just don't want to be known as a church that just does church like everyone else. I want to be different. So I'm inviting you, the people of Zayo, to be a disciple of Jesus, inviting you into following the way of Jesus. Let me give you the theme verse for the series, Mark 8:34. Whoever wants to be my disciple, hopefully that's all of us, must deny themselves to take up their cross and follow me. See, that's not sexy preaching right there, okay? I know that's not going to like, give me my cross, pastor. You know, like it's like, I know it's tough, but this is what we need to hear. Because in order for us to be a disciple of Jesus, we need to follow in the way of Jesus. So what does it look like to be a true disciple of Jesus? Last week we kicked off this series. We talked about how the first Christians, the first followers of Jesus were known as the way. And if you were a disciple of Jesus, if Jesus was your teacher, your rabbi, you were a follower of the way. So we looked at what it meant to be a disciple during the days of Jesus, and we learned that Jesus called people into discipleship by simply asking them to follow me. Jesus would do this. He would come to some people and say, hey, Dustin, follow me. I don't care about your schooling. I don't care about your education. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what family you come from. But then follow me. And Jesus would call to people, invite people to follow him, and these people would leave everything that they knew, and they would follow after Jesus. A disciple would learn from the one they are following. They would commit their life to the teachings of their teacher. And each teacher had their own teaching. It's called their yoke. We talked about this. And every other teacher had a stressful, strenuous, exhaustive yoke. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I come with a new authority, a new teaching. True disciples, we do what Jesus says to do. Being a Christian is simply that, doing what our teacher has said to do. And if we want to refuse to live out the teachings of our teacher, we are not a disciple of Jesus. Last week, I wanted to use that message to set up this series. And now that the series is set up, the next 3 weeks, I want to look at practically what it looks like to be a disciple and follow Jesus. So what is a disciple? We said this a second ago. This is the 3 weeks we're going to go into right here. A disciple is someone who's with Jesus, that's week one, who's becoming like Jesus, that's next week, and who's committed to doing what Jesus did, that's the final week. This is the first step. Today, what I want to look at, a disciple is someone who is with Jesus. If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, the first thing you need to understand is, what does it mean to be with Jesus? How do I be with Jesus? The disciples were with Jesus. They spent 3 years following after Jesus. How do we today follow Jesus and be with Jesus? That's what we're talking about today. So if you're taking message notes, the title of today's message is With Jesus. With Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word that you want to speak to our hearts today. God, I pray that we would leave transformed. You would let some truth of this just come into our hearts and make a difference. Every week, someone comes up to me and says, man, that was just for me. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. So God, I pray that you would do what only you can do. And Lord, I pray that you'd comfort those in loss and mourning and heartache. Today, we remember those who are being affected by these rains and these floods. Lord, we love you. Would you be with us now in Jesus' name? And everybody said, amen. 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 So how do we learn to be a disciple? We need to first learn how to be with Jesus. This is so key. Be with Jesus. So how do we be with Jesus? I got 3 points for you this morning. The first way that you can be with Jesus, first thing you got to know is you got to abide in Jesus Christ. Abide in Jesus Christ. Abide. What does that even mean, to abide? It's such a different word. We don't really use it much in our vernacular. But it comes from John 15 in the Bible. And I want to read this passage to you, and you can kind of catch this abide concept and theme throughout the scripture. Starting in verse 1, I am the true vine, says Jesus speaking, and my Father God is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every other branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Sorry, I can't read. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, watch this, showing yourselves to me to be my disciples. If you want to be a disciple, you got to bear much fruit. What does all this mean? Well, Jesus saying that he is the tree. I have an amazing illustration. I have several illustrations for you today, okay? He is the tree, okay? He is the tree. He is the vine. We are the branches. And God the Father is the gardener. We get life from the tree. As the branches, we get life from the tree. And then the life that we receive from the tree enables us to bear fruit, which is leaves in this example. As the tree grows, we grow with the tree. We are healthy. We are maturing when we are connected to the tree. But when we are not producing fruit, we're cut off. And this tree right here, just a little illustration. The tree is providing life to the branches, and then the branches are doing what they were created to do, which is to produce leaves. And if I was to take a limb here and just cut it off, this branch no longer can accomplish that which it was created to do. It is cut off. It will eventually wither and die and be thrown into the fire pit. Jesus is the vine. He is the tree. He is the one that gives life to the branches, us. And when there is life that is coming from the vine, from the tree, we are enabled to produce fruit. In this passage, Jesus used this word abide, or another way to say it is remain in me, 10 times. I don't know if you caught that theme. Jesus is trying to drive home this point that we can do nothing with him unless we are connected to him. We can do nothing in this life unless we learn how to abide in the tree. This branch can do nothing because it is apart from the branch. Us in our lives, if we are not connected to Jesus, if we do not abide in Jesus, we can do nothing. If you want to be a disciple, you need to learn how to abide in Jesus. How do we do that? Well, let me just say it this way. We need to become great multitaskers. Any great multitaskers out there? All the men in the room, for sure. I don't know what it is, but men, I know for sure myself, we were not gifted with the ability to multitask. This is a struggle right here. Women, you guys are phenomenal. But if we want to learn how to abide, we need to learn how to multitask. Here's what that means. When we're driving down Highway 71, we're also in the presence of God. We might be driving, but we're also abiding. When we're at lunch, eating with some friends or coworkers, we're also in the presence of God. We might be eating, but we're also abiding. You might be putting the kids to bed at night. And while you're playing mom and dad, you're also in the presence of God. You're also abiding. True disciples are multitaskers. They are able to be connected to the world, but at the same time be connected to the presence of God. They exist, but they abide at the same time. And even more than that, true disciples that abide in Jesus, they understand that their energy, their source of life, comes from being connected to the presence of God. Let me just help you today. If you're losing patience, if you're lacking energy, if you're just simply drowning in life right now, it may not be a hormonal imbalance, okay, that you need to see the doctor for. It may be that you are not abiding. You're not connected anymore. You're losing energy. You're losing life because simply you're not abiding in the source of life. This biblical principle today would be a little bit different. I love the teaching of Scripture. If you notice, there's a theme. There's like this horticulture theme, a lot of seeding, a lot of planting and reaping and these. Because back in Jesus' day, that was the common theme. And what I love about Jesus is he would take these biblical truths and godly principles and he would make them relevant to the day. If Jesus was around today and the scripture was being written today, we'd have a lot different stories, a lot different parables, a lot different illustrations. We'd see a lot about AI today and technology in business. So let me try to take this parable and just, if I may, for a second, try to relate it to today's day and age. I think if Jesus was writing this parable, he might have said that he is the power source. I have a power strip here, surge protector here, that he is the power, and we are the lamp. We are the lamp. This lamp was created to produce light, to light up a dark space. But we can't do anything without the power source. This lamp is useless without the power source. But once we connect to the power source, the light turns. Isn't that a great illustration? I'm just saying, thank you. This is blinding me. Do not look into the light. This lamp was to provide light. And when it's connected to the power source, it does what it was intended to do. But apart from the power source, this lamp is useless. Just like the tree branches are to produce leaves. But apart from the tree, these branches will not produce. Lamps produce light. Human beings produce the fruit of the Spirit. are you producing the fruit of the Spirit? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you are connected to the source, when you are abiding, this is your fruit. Let's get practical for a second. If you want to learn how to abide in Jesus, let me give you a term. You need to practice the presence of God. If you want to abide, you got to practice the presence of God. This is a term that comes. If you want to abide, you got to practice the presence of God. This is a term that comes from a priest from the 17th century. His name was Brother Lawrence. Practice the presence of God. What I love about this term is it alludes that there is work involved. There's something that we must do. Following in the way of Jesus is not just existing, coming to church when you feel like it, and just hoping that it all works out. I don't know if you've realized this, but following in the way of Jesus and being a true follower of Jesus is actually very difficult. Like, you have to, it's very easy to walk in the way of the world. Like, it's easy to get angry, and it's easy to be jealous, and it's easy to gossip. Man, but it takes work to follow in the way of Jesus and be a person of honor, person of love. So I love this term, to practice the presence of God. And I've talked about this before, but I believe we are to view our spiritual walk in this journey of faith with God like a sport. If we want to be the best we possibly can be, we need to practice our faith. Just like an athlete practices for a game, we are to practice for life. It's not just going to come natural. You're not just going to want to do the right thing. It's going to take some practice. And a way to practice the presence of God is to dive into the spiritual disciplines of life, or what I like to call as the practices of Jesus. If you want to abide in Jesus, you will need to learn the disciplines of the faith. There is something called the disciplines of the faith. There's not an official list. And if you want a great resource on this, there's a book from the great author Dallas Willard. It's called The Spirit of the Disciplines. It's a great read. It's a great way to look at the practices of Jesus. But here are some practices of Jesus, some disciplines of the faith that he talks about. Prayer. It's a discipline. It's a practice. Fasting. You don't want to fast, right? You got to force yourself. You actually have to do it. Solitude. Giving, reading scriptures, keeping the Sabbath, hospitality, worship. I mean, inherently, you probably aren't going to want to do those things, but it's going to take some work. I remember playing football growing up. We had two-a-days. I did not want to go to two-a-days. I dreaded two-a-days. A lot of people quit football because they had to do two-a-days. But if you went through two-a-days, you became a better football player. There's so many of these disciplines of the faith, people go, I'm not really into that one. I'm not going to participate in that one. It's because it's too hard. Jesus is forming you spiritually. There's a term that we call spiritual formation. Disciples go through the process of spiritual formation, no matter how hard the discipline is. It's like spiritual habits. It takes 90 days to break a habit. And it takes 66 days to formulate a new habit. If you focused on one of these and did it consistently for 66 days, that would be a habit that's formed inside of you, and it would be hard to stop that habit. And something to note within this spiritual discipline concept is that these disciplines are not a means to an end. Like we don't read our Bible just to finish it and say we read the Bible. We don't fast just so we don't eat and we look better. Like, as disciplines are expressed here, they're meant to draw us near to God and to learn how to abide in Him. I hear alarms going off. Listen, our team, I'll have our security team, if there's actually an emergency, they will come let us know, okay? So, as the emergency alarms go off. So I want to help you in this. As we talk about spiritual, like when we talk about, are we doing a good job? Are we providing our church with resources? Are we walking you through spiritual disciplines? to help you grow in your faith. So, reading your Bible. We come out twice a year with devotionals. We came out with them in January, and we're coming out with a new devotional in August, so just a month away. We have Bibles for free. We feel like we're not supposed to charge for Bibles. We are a church. So we have Bibles for free. If you don't have a Bible, take a Bible. We have small groups during the fall and the spring, learning to connect to one another. We have ways to serve through our life team. We have ways to give, ways to actually exercise your gifts. If you would, come to Life Track next week after this service, after the second service, and we'll walk you through the spiritual disciplines. But if we want to be with Jesus, we first need to learn how to abide in Jesus Christ. Here's the second point. If you're taking message notes, we have to accept the Holy Spirit. Anytime the Holy Spirit's mentioned in a sermon, people get all weird. Some people start looking for the exits. Pastor, I'll come to your church. Just don't talk about money. Don't talk about hell. And don't talk about the Holy Spirit. If that's your viewpoint, you're going to hate Zao Church. Why? Because hell and money are two of the most talked about subjects in the Bible. What kind of pastor would I be to not communicate the scriptures to you? The Holy Spirit is a part of the Holy Trinity. And by the way, the Holy Trinity is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three entities, one being. And the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. And people give the Holy Spirit a really bad reputation. So this is important for us to understand as we are on a journey to be with Jesus. If you think about it, how can I be with Jesus because Jesus is not here in the flesh? How do I accomplish this, Jared, to be with Jesus when Jesus is not sitting in row 3 of Zao Church? Well, in John 14, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He told them that he was going away, but he had a plan for this because he knew it'd be important. Watch this. He says this in John 14, verse 16. He says this, "And I will ask the Father, God, and he will give you another advocate to help you." It's not going to be me. It's someone else who will be with you forever because I can't be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. I think we see that in the world. There's a lot of confusion around the Holy Spirit. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. All this I've spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This was the plan of Jesus, that he would go away. He would ascend to the Father, but he would not leave us empty-handed. God the Father has a role. He created us. The Son, Jesus, had a role. He came and died for us so that we could have everlasting life. Man, but the Holy Spirit has a role as well. He's the one that gets to come and live inside of us. So Jesus would leave, ascend to the Father, and God would send the Holy Spirit down. In order for us to be with Jesus, you got to accept the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, "Matt, do I need that? I don't know. I just like, this isn't a buffet. It's not like, do I need the okra, like, you know, like extra carb?" It's like, this is God. You either want all of God or none of God. I don't know why. I feel like we have to convince people to receive the Holy Spirit. Write this down. To be a disciple of Jesus is to live in a constant state of awareness of, in connection to the Holy Spirit. You want to be a disciple, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you, the Holy Spirit is nothing to be afraid of. People give the Holy Spirit a bad reputation. You should be afraid of those people, not the Holy Spirit. Because, let me just, is any of this scary to you? The Holy Spirit in Scripture is referred to as the Counselor, Comforter, Friend, Guide, Teacher, Advocate, someone who fights on your behalf, Revealer of Truth, Witness. Why on earth are we scared of those things? Why would you not want those things for your life? Because the Holy Spirit, which by the way is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, not an it or a thing, the person of the Holy Spirit is real. And he wants to be your friend. One more thing I want to show you on this. I find this interesting. This is Jesus speaking, John 16:7. "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Because unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I find it fascinating that Jesus said it was for our good, our benefit, that he leaves. Now, how could that be? The Savior of the world, Rabbi, teacher, you have to go away so that someone else can come? Why is that? It's because Jesus could only be one place at one time. So think about it. When Jesus would come and do a healing crusade, with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's hard to do the right thing sometimes. I don't know about you. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you haven't. But sometimes it's hard to know how to do the right thing. It's hard to know when to say the right thing. You could even say with the right, best intentions, you still say the wrong thing. Right, married people? Okay. Like, that didn't come out the way I... All right, I'm digging a hole, you know? It's just like, what's the right thing to say? What's the right way to react? You see, when we abide in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Then the Holy Spirit enables us to walk in a way that he created us to walk. It's a process. You abide in Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, and then he helps you to walk this life. So let me show you how we become a disciple and how we enable the Holy Spirit to lead us. Okay, I'm going to read a passage to you, Galatians 5. We'll start in verse 13. I'm going to take this passage and break it down. And watch this. We're going to see how we live a life that's led by the Holy Spirit. Watch this, verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Did you know that you were not created to live in bondage, but created to live in freedom? I hear so many people as a pastor, so many people say, man, that's just the way that I was made. Man, I'm Irish. I'm German. My mom was this way. My dad was this way. I'm going to be this way. And guess what? My kids are going to be this way. I'm telling you right now, you were not created to live in bondage. You were not created to live with this generational iniquity, this generational sin that's tied to you for the rest of your life. You get to be the one to break that. But we believe in that, and that's a lie from the pit of hell that, man, I'm always going to struggle with this. God called you to be free. When we believe that we are inherently going to just have this sin the rest of our lives, did you know that Jesus died on the cross to make you free? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, the Bible says. So when we believe that we are meant to live in sin or a bondage, a generational thing, we are not receiving the fullness of what Jesus died to give us on the cross. You are called to be free. Next verse. But do not use your freedom that Jesus gave you on the cross, don't use that freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Some believers use their salvation as a license to sin. I'm free, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm forgiven, let me go live like hell. If that is your heart posture, I would say you're probably not saved. You're probably not a disciple. And you need Jesus. You see, freedom in Jesus is not a freedom to sin. It's a freedom to live for Jesus. Freedom in Jesus is this life led by the Spirit, enables us to walk in freedom, not be slaves to what we want to do. Verse goes on, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, this is the theme right here. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This right here is how we align with the Spirit. You walk by the Spirit. You see, when you are full of the Spirit, you abide in Jesus, you receive the Spirit, that Spirit then enables you to live a life that is found in Jesus. Simply put this way, you cannot abide in Jesus without the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to receive and accept the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't abide in Jesus. We can't be a disciple of Jesus. Because once you receive the Holy Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, and in so doing, you then abide in Jesus. You see, when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are led by the flesh, not the Spirit. Verse 17, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. When you are full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to abide in Jesus. But if you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you will not have the desire to abide in Jesus. And because you are not of the Spirit, you are of the flesh. And here it's about to list out what is called the fruit of the flesh. You see, what you are connected to is the fruit that you will produce. If you are connected to the tree, you're going to produce leaves. If you're connected to the power source, you're going to produce light. That which you are connected to is the fruit that you will produce. And they're saying the flesh and the spirit are at war. They're at conflict with each other. You cannot live in the flesh and produce the fruit of the spirit. It's impossible. Verse 19, it's about to list out the fruit of the flesh. Just see if any of these apply to your life. You don't need to stand up and confess it. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and they are obvious. We see them. Here we go. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Here's a good one. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, because you're not a disciple. You are of the flesh, not of the spirit. And those who are not connected to Jesus, this is your fruit, the fruit of the flesh, because what you are connected to is the fruit that you produce. But to those who abide in Jesus and are full of the Holy Spirit, here's the fruit of the Spirit. I love this. We'll read it again, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become connected, provoking and envying each other. I love this passage. It's so cut and dry. It's so plain and simple. It gives a clear picture of what it looks like to be connected to the flesh or connected to the Spirit. And true disciples are connected to the Spirit. And they produce the fruit of the Spirit. If you produce the fruit of the flesh, you are not a disciple of Jesus. And what I find fascinating about this passage as well is that you can't try harder. These are not behaviors, these are fruits. You can't just change it. It's a fruit. It's what will be produced through you because of what you are connected to. There is willpower. You can act more loving. You can act like you forgave somebody, but that doesn't change the fruit. Because you cannot manufacture a behavior. And you can't manufacture a fruit. You can't change a fruit. The commandment here of Paul is to not be these things. The commandment here is to walk in the Spirit. And in so doing, you will produce the fruit. Let me explain this one to you a little bit more. I told you I'm all about illustrations today. I have an orange. Anybody like oranges? Okay. Many Christians are like this orange. This orange, it's an orange. We all identify this as an orange. It looks good. It looks healthy. Sure, there's some imperfections, but overall, it's a good orange. Many Christians are this orange. They say, man, I'm an orange. Praise God, I'm an orange. I mean, I've made some mistakes, but I'm doing all right. I'm an orange. Been connected to an orange tree, and I've produced the fruit of an orange. This is my fruit. I'm doing good. I think I'm trying really hard, and I think I'm doing okay in this life. I'm an orange. It's the most Christians right here. But here's the sad reality. God's tree is not an orange tree. It's a peach tree. The tree that God is in this life, the tree that we are to be connected to, produces peaches, not oranges. And we have become comfortable being an orange. I'm doing the best I can, Pastor. I live a good life. I try really hard. And we have become comfortable and identifying in something that God never intended for us to be, an orange. See, no matter how bad you want to be a peach, you can't just change the fact that you're an orange because you were connected to an orange tree that produced an orange. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you want to be a peach, you can't be a peach because you're an orange. The only way to become a peach is to walk in the Spirit and abide in Jesus. Because peaches come from peach trees. And disciples of Jesus come from Jesus. You see, the fruit that's produced in your life will look like that which you are abiding in. Let me say that again. The fruit that is produced in your life, an orange, will look like that which you are abiding in. So as we close today, how do we be with Jesus? How do we abide in Jesus? How do we walk in step with Jesus? We live like Jesus. If you want to experience the life change of Jesus, you must adapt to the lifestyle of Jesus. I want to close with a story. I want to introduce to you a man named Rick Hoyt. This is Rick Hoyt in the wheelchair. Rick was born in 1962, a cerebral palsy. Doctors told his parents that he would never walk, talk, or live a normal life. Well, his parents, like any great parents would, they refused to give up on him. And with the help of technology, Rick learned to communicate through a computer system. And Rick came to his dad, that's Dick Hoyt, his father right there. He came to his dad one day and said, "Dad, I want to participate in a 5-mile benefit run for a paralyzed athlete." Well, Dick, he was older, he wasn't a runner at the time, but yet he wanted to give his son a normal experience, so he agreed. And after that race, Rick went to his dad, Dick, and he said, "Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped anymore." Well, that moment changed everything. Dick knew that they needed to run in more races. So Dick began to train as a runner. He knew that if he wanted to provide a normal life and this normal feeling for his son, that he would need to adjust his life. He would need to change some things. Well, get this. Together, they ran in 72 marathons, including 32 Boston marathons, 255 triathlons, including 6 Ironmans. They ran in a total of over 1,100 total races. During the training and during these triathlons, Dick would swim during the swimming portion, pulling Rick in a raft. And then during the biking portion, he would bike with Rick in a front seat. And then in the running portion, they designed the special running chair, and he would run pushing Rick. Now, their story is amazing. It's inspiring. And I have two takeaways as I close here from this story. First, Dick had to change his lifestyle if he wanted different results. Dick wasn't a runner, but he knew he needed to become a runner. So he trained and he practiced until he became a runner. Some of you here today are struggling in your faith. You know you're not where you need to be. Well, like Dick, it's time to make some changes if you want some different results. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to be with Jesus. You need to spend some time with Jesus. You need to practice the disciplines of the faith. You need to pursue Jesus in a different way. And you'll find that over time, you will become more and more like Jesus. And your life's going to change for the better. Here's a second takeaway I get from the story. That the son Rick, the only way that Rick could actually run in these races and live the life that he wanted to live is if he ran these races through his father. The only way for you and I to live the life that we were intended to live is to live it through our father. The only way to live this life is through Jesus. And in order to live this life through Jesus, you need to be with Jesus. You need to spend time with Jesus. You need to become his disciple. Think about it this way. Your life, think about this. Hopefully this challenges you. Your life is perfectly designed to receive the results that you are getting. meaning where your life's at, is because of the disciplines that you have put in place in your life. Good or bad? You are receiving the results. You're getting the results because of your disciplines that you have in place. So the question is, are you happy? Are you happy with your life? Are you happy with how you respond in situations? If you're not, you got to change your routines. You got to change your rhythms. In order to live a life that you can be proud of, you got to be with Jesus. I want to close with this thought. If nothing else made sense in this message, I want to close with this thought to encourage you. Jesus is a loving Father who died for you, who wants to spend time with you. Why do we be with Jesus? Because he's our Father. He's a relational God. He wants to spend time with us. And this thing that we're doing here, it's not a religion. It's relationship with Jesus. We do these things, these practices, these disciplines. Why? To grow closer to God. He's a loving Father who just wants to spend time with you. Church, it's time to be with Jesus. Let me pray for you right where you're at. Would you take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're my friend. You're my counselor. You're my guide. What do you want to say to me in this through this message? What is my takeaway? What is my application? What do you want to say to me through this message? And just be quiet. See what he says. See what he whispers to you. See how he leads you. Father, we want to be disciples, true followers of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would teach us and enable us to understand what it means to abide in you, what it means to live a life that's led by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to play church as usual. We don't want to be hypocrites, because that's the way the world sees us. I want the world to see us as true disciples of you, Jesus. I want to close and pray for those who have never made a decision for Jesus, never begun this spiritual faith journey with Jesus. If that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer. I felt this last service and this service that maybe there's someone here who just kind of tired of playing the whole church thing. Kind of really never made sense to you. Kind of thought it was silly. Because you've probably seen a bad example of it. But maybe for the first time you're like, okay, I really do want to commit my life to Jesus. I want to follow in his way, in his teaching. If that's you today, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. Just say, pray this to God. Say, God, today, I want to be a disciple. Thank you for sending Jesus to this world. And thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit. I commit my life to you. I give you my life right now. My heart, it's yours. Change me and make me new. I commit to following you from this day forward. A true disciple of Jesus from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer.